Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I just can't really follow and can't really understand what this whole negotiation between Iran and the United States has been about. Because how do you believe anything that a regime like Iran says? No matter what they sign, they're prepared to sponsor world terror. They are responsible for deaths of hundreds, literally, of thousands of people. Do we really think they're not going to tell a lie? It really doesn't make sense, but maybe it's all about diplomacy, and maybe we have the luxury of sitting here and commenting, but does anybody really think that you can come to an agreement with a regime that is prepared to mow down tens of thousands of their own, of its own people? Let's try and understand this. What is happening between the U.S. and Iran, and what is the sentiment like in the United States around this potential war? Joel Pollack is the senior editor at large and in-house counsel at Breitbart News. Joel, a very, very good morning to you. Well, good evening to you. Thank you for staying up to chat to us. I know that it's not always simple, so it is greatly appreciated. Did anybody think that these negotiations were potentially going to achieve anything?
Well, good morning to you. I just wanted to correct something to begin with. I'm actually the opinion editor of the New California Post. So I actually left Breitbart in November.
Oh, and I've been I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, no, thank you for that update. Tell us again, you're the opinion editor at?
At the California Post. So if you're familiar with the American media universe, one of the more popular newspapers is the New York Post. It's actually the oldest newspaper in the country. It was started by Alexander Hamilton, and it remains to this day one of the top papers. It's also got a huge online presence, and it's based in New York, but it has a huge audience in California. So they decided to start a California edition. And I'm the opinion editor of that edition.
Well, congratulations to you. In fact, the New York Post is a staple of mine. I've got, you know, when I start preparing for it, for the show every day, that is absolutely one of my go-to publications where I can, because I can get a little bit more news that isn't necessarily so narrative based. So that is really, really great news, and best of luck with that, with this position. So now let's just talk about what is happening between the United States and Iran. Was there any real thought that in fact these negotiations could lead to a breakthrough?
Well, I don't know that we'll see a breakthrough. And of course, you have to be careful when you're dealing with Iran. And we haven't really seen any positive public signals from the regime. Of course, as you noted in your introduction, quite the opposite. We've seen them crack down on protesters, and they've insisted on their supposed right to enrich uranium. And they have covered up aspects of their program and so forth. So on the one hand, things don't look like they're moving toward any kind of agreement, and the United States is quite conspicuously flexing its military muscle, moving aircraft carriers into the region and things like that. But I am skeptical that there's actually going to be a further round of military conflict. And I think that a lot of what we're seeing is a kind of diplomatic gamesmanship. I do think that the best outcome, and this is my personal view, but I think the best outcome is going to be some kind of agreement where there is an element of the agreement that causes long-term problems for the regime, but that the regime has to accept because it really is in a desperate position, not just militarily, but economically. The country is in an economic spiral. It's also got a massive problem with water supply. They cannot keep enough water flowing to meet the needs of their residents, and there's really no excuse for it in an oil-rich country like Iran. So I do think the United States has significant leverage, and I would predict that the outcome of what we're seeing would be some kind of agreement. And although people are focusing on the nuclear aspect, one of the things I've tried to emphasize is there are precedents for a kind of human rights agreement with these kinds of regimes. If you look back at the 1970s, there were agreements with the Soviet Union where they gained access to food, which they were in short supply of, from the West, and in exchange they had to agree to certain human rights monitoring. And that's what gave the leverage to human rights activists like Natan Sharansky. That's what allowed Perestroika and Glasnost eventually to emerge. So I think conceivably you could have some kind of arrangement with Iran where they get some kind of access to the global economy in return for a commitment to human rights reforms, where there are enforceable mechanisms and there are systems of monitoring and observing. And over time, I think that will erode the regime from within. And the reason I don't think military action is likely is that the Trump administration, while very hawkish in some ways and quite willing to intervene in countries like Venezuela and so forth, has really internalized the lessons of the Iraq War.
Mm-hmm.
And the main lesson is that once you've broken one of these regimes, even though they might deserve in some way to be broken, once you've broken them, the really hard part becomes how you fix them. And we see Iran as sort of a permanent presence, but there's no guarantee of that. And there are lots of different regions and forces pulling at the Iranian state. And you don't know how it's going to turn up. You could take apart the Iranian regime, the chief sponsor of terrorism around the world, and something else would emerge from the pieces that break up. And it's not clear that there is a stable alternative to the regime. I'm not saying that makes the regime better. I think the regime ought to fall. But if you talk to the Iranian protesters, there really is a division as to whether they want the Shah to come back in some way or they want some kind of democratic process. It's not clear what the democratic process would look like. So I think the best outcome is a kind of slow puncture, if you will, where the regime eventually runs out of air. And that gives time for something to take its place and for the world to start thinking about alternatives.
The concern here surely would be, that it is a genocidal regime. And it's not as though the negotiations or morality or ethics or anything are, in terms of negotiations, are even happening on the same playing field. So I know you're not suggesting that they are. You're just suggesting that the maneuver is one that erodes the power of this regime. The question, I guess, is how realistic is it, given that it seems to be becoming more and more hardline, taking more and more of a hardline approach versus an approach that at least takes into account certain of the requirements and needs of the people of Iran?
You know, it's very hard to know exactly what's going on, and the public face of these regimes is often quite deceptive. And sometimes all governments, free and unfree, will make movements in the direction of being more hardline prior to a major shift. So I think it's very hard to know exactly what's happening. But you know, I think I'm optimistic simply given the fact that the Iranian regime is so isolated, it's struggling so much economically. I'm optimistic that you'll start to see a movement in the positive direction. And you know, if it comes to that, I do think the United States is prepared to use military force, and they've shown that in Venezuela, and President Trump has made that very clear. But I do think the strong preference of the Trump administration would come to some kind of agreement.
So do you think that these maneuvers, these number of the amount of military hardware that has moved into the region, Israel moving itself onto a war readiness footing, even from a home front perspective, is that caution or is that bluff?
I think it's both, and I also think it's possible that the people involved don't know themselves. I think they are preparing for whatever happens. But I really do think that it's in everybody's interest, including the pro-democracy protesters in Iran, for there to be an agreement that avoids war but eventually leads to the undoing of the situation in Iran as it is right now. I just don't think it can continue. And I don't think that there's going to be an opportunity for the regime to reestablish itself, barring any major political shift. I mean, look, there is always the possibility that you have such a huge political shift in the United States over the next few years that you have the Democratic Party coming back into office after 2028 with another feckless administration that decides to give everything away to the Iranian regime. But even that, I think, is unlikely, because I think even Democrats who followed Obama and Biden in their foreign policy misadventures over the last decade and a half, I think even they would acknowledge that Trump has been more effective. And I don't think they're going to try to go back to the Ben Rhodes vision of Iran as a hegemonic power in the Middle East, which really was eventually the aim in the last years of the Obama administration. And I think they've just seen that it doesn't work. And because the American people really don't want to pay much attention to foreign policy, I think that even a Democratic Party administration is going to try to stay away from what has been proven to fail in the past. You never know, of course, but I think that the United States basically has decided this is not going to work anymore with Iran sponsoring terrorist organizations, developing nuclear weapons. And so I think you're going to see more or less a united front on bringing about some kind of non-military regime change in Iran. I think that is basically the fulcrum of political consensus in the United States, if you can find one.
That is very, very interesting, and that is where we leave it. Joel Pollack, thank you. As always, Joel is the opinion editor at the California Post, talking to us about the United States and Iran and how this might well play out.